Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. As we begin a new week together in our journey with Moses, I wonder what financial security means to you, my friends all around the world. In some societies, financial security is found in having many children who will be working to provide and care for you in your old age. In other societies, it's a dependence on the government to provide social benefits, including health care, a steady income in your old age, and perhaps even housing. In some societies, it means farmlands and gardens, while in other places it's animals, even only a few such as camels or cows or sheep or goats. In Egypt, in the days of Moses, for the Pharaoh, part of his financial security was a very large slave population doing much of the hard labor of the country. For many Egyptians, their financial security was in their animals. So when Moses received word from God that the next plague would strike the livestock, oh my, that was a big deal. Come on, friends, let's rejoin Moses as once again he's hearing a fresh and troublesome word from God. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may worship me.'" Exodus 9:1. Pause just a moment. Repeatedly, Moses has been telling Pharaoh who the Almighty God is, as Moses uses his name, the Lord. That's the name God explained to Moses at his burning bush encounter, as recorded in Exodus chapter 3, remember? God has repeatedly instructed Moses to tell Pharaoh that the Lord has a special relationship with those Hebrew slaves. God calls them my people. Also, the Lord has repeatedly told Pharaoh to allow these enslaved Hebrews to get out of their mud pits and take a several-day journey away from Egypt for the primary purpose of worshiping their God as a large assembly of God's people. And finally, each time God has sent a message to Pharaoh through Moses, it has come with a warning. If the Pharaoh refuses, then God will send some great calamity upon the land and people, the leadership, and even the Pharaoh himself. But each time Pharaoh's heart has grown more and more hard and stubborn. In part, it's Pharaoh's pride. But it's also God actually hardening Pharaoh's heart, providing God more opportunity to prove himself as unique as the only true, living, all-powerful God. It has been a remarkable few weeks for Pharaoh and his Egyptians, Moses and Aaron, and the Hebrew slaves. I doubt any of us can really imagine what those days were like. God had made it clear that the purpose of these cataclysmic, disastrous plagues is twofold. First, so the Egyptians and Pharaoh will recognize the God of the Hebrews is the only true living God. And secondly, so the Pharaoh will finally surrender and release these nearly 1 million Hebrew slaves, not just for a day or two, but permanently. The message Moses was hearing from God in Exodus 9 continues, "Tell Pharaoh, if you refuse to let the Hebrews go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses and donkeys, camels and cattle, sheep and goats. But the Lord will again make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animals belonging to the Israelites will die." Exodus 9:2-4. Now let's pause again for just a moment. Did you notice God gives Moses three different words by which God describes the slaves that he wants released? First, God calls them the Hebrews, the same word he has used many times. It refers to the fact that they are descendants of Abraham and from the land of Canaan. Secondly, God calls them Israel, in contrast to Egypt. In this way, God is contrasting two great nations, each of which have their own culture, customs, geographical land, and even language. Finally, God calls them Israelites. And here God is referring to the fact that this huge group of people can each and all trace their family heritage back to one of the 12 sons of the grandson of Abraham, known as Jacob, whom God renamed Israel. Also, did you notice the focus of this particular plague? The financial security of the very large portion of the Egyptian people and their economy. Just think about how much of Egyptian life would be affected if a large portion of the Egyptian livestock perished. But did you notice God once again predicted that a clear distinction would be made between ownership of the livestock? Only livestock owned by Egyptians would die. I wonder if you see the very significant difference between this plague and the plague of flies, which also did not affect the Hebrews. With the flies, it was as if God created an invisible curtain all around the land of Goshen, where the Hebrew slaves lived, which stretched from the ground all the way up into the stratosphere. That curtain kept the flies out of Goshen. But this plague on the livestock was not a geographical plague. It was an ownership plague. Look at Pharaoh. His eyes are squinting as he looks out the window as he listens to Moses. Out there, he sees wonderful livestock. And because of the frogs, the gnats, and the flies, Pharaoh knows he cannot discount Moses' warning. So Pharaoh looks at the fields of livestock and imagines them lying on their backs on the ground with their legs flailing as they die. Oh, it would be a terrible economic blow to Egypt and to thousands, maybe millions of Egyptians who depend on their animals for nearly everything. But look closely. I see Pharaoh turning his head back and forth, looking out the window at the livestock and looking back at Moses. In his mind, Pharaoh is asking one question. How could this God of Moses possibly distinguish between the animals? How could this God kill one cow, the one owned by an Egyptian, but let another cow in the same grazing pasture live because it was owned by a Hebrew? No God can know that much detail about people and their lives and their financial holdings. That's simply impossible. Is that impossible, my Walking with Jesus friends around the world? How much do you think God knows about you and me and all of us? Perhaps the better question is this: is there anything at all, that God does not know about you or me or any person anywhere on this planet? If so, what is it? And why doesn't God know about it? No, the truth is God is all-knowing. It's called omniscience. There is no piece of information from eternity past to eternity future that God does not know. Now ponder the significance of that statement. Let's rejoin Moses and Pharaoh as Pharaoh keeps staring out his palace window. The Exodus record says, "The Lord set a time, and Moses said, 'Tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land.' And the next day the Lord did it. The livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh sent men to investigate, and they found it to be true. Not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Yet Pharaoh's heart was unyielding, and he would not let the Hebrews go." Exodus 9:5-7. Oh my, oh my. Do you see something new and terribly devastating here, my friends? Up to now, the plagues have been troublesome and very inconvenient. But now the lives and livelihood of the Egyptians is directly affected, and not just for today. Can you imagine how long it would take the Egyptians to raise up herds and flocks again to replace all that would be lost? But with Pharaoh, his prideful, angry, hard heart was unmoved. Oh, my friends, have you ever seen this depth of pride, arrogance, anger, stubbornness in someone? Is there even a little bit of it in you and me? Once again, God calls us to stand amazed as we consider this plague. Amazed at the incredible omniscience of God in distinguishing ownership of the animals. But also we should be amazed at how dark, hard, stubborn, immovable, untouchable an angry heart can become. And oh, what great damage can be inflicted by such angry hearts. But one last question. Do you know anyone today who once had a heart like Pharaoh's, but then they met Jesus, and they are entirely different today? I hope so. Here's a song to help us consider that heart-changing power of Jesus. Is there someone you know who needs the life change Jesus can bring to them today?